Well, good evening. Got some faces, that I don't know. Maybe other people know them. Welcome. We're going through kind of a series called The Other 3:16s, and most of us already know the most popular 3:16 is John 3:16. But as I've read through Scripture, I've been like, wow, there's a lot of really interesting pieces of wisdom in elsewhere in the Bible in chapter 3, verse 16. So I've kind of been piecemealing through, and the reason I kind of picked to do this, kind of when we heard Pastor Solomon was coming, I was like, well, this is an easy thing to start and finish. Like, there doesn't need to be an X amount of points, because at our morning church, I'm going through a specific, very 7-week series. This thing could be 4 weeks long, it could be 48 weeks long. So it's easy to start, easy to finish, and we're going to be jumping into one today, and I'll tell you what it is here in a moment. But I'm going to start off with a little illustration about someone who was near the end of their college career. And, actually, I'll tell you what book of the Bible we're in first. So this is a list of the books of the Bible, and we're actually going to be hanging out in Philippians today. So Philippians 3:16. And we're going to be hanging out like quite a bit in there today. So if you do have your Bibles and want to follow along, please feel free, because it'll be Philippians chapter 3. But I wanted to start off today with a story about someone's college career. They went to class. They studied really hard. They spent a lot of time in the computer lab, their dorm room, studying. And they had a nearly perfect GPA. A ton of A's on their report cards. 2 B's, but really, who's counting? And then graduation comes. You walk down the aisle. A diploma was handed over. Steps are walked down. Pictures are taken. And one picture in particular was taken next to someone else who had the same last name. And they weren't brother and sister. The other person, also holding a diploma, had a slightly different path. One who is the A student had the hard work and some sleepless nights. The other was a student who worked not as hard, put in a good effort, didn't get a bunch of A's, only 2 if we're counting, but we're not counting, and they were also handed a diploma. Different work ethics, different paths, same diploma. So that means something to us today. Oh yeah, that's my report. I mean, it's that other person's report card. I didn't have that many B's. But today we're talking about the book of Philippians, and we're hanging out in chapter 3, and Paul has a lot to say in Philippians. Now, a little background on Paul. Paul, before he became a follower of Jesus, he was a Pharisee. And as a Pharisee, it was his job to keep the law and enforce the law on those who were not following it. And he was good at his job. In fact, there was one time when someone judged another man, Stephen, for being a blasphemer. Paul was kind enough to hold the coats of all the people murdering Stephen. He didn't commit the murder himself, but he was complicit in it as he held the coats of those who were doing it. So Paul was kind of like the top of the top, the A student Pharisee. In fact, he has this to say about himself in Philippians 3, verse 5. He says he was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the more prominent, still known to that day tribes, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church as to righteousness under the law, blameless. This is how he labeled himself as a Pharisee and how others labeled him. Paul was the cream of the crop. He was the straight A student. And he was on the path to being declared probably the best of the best. His teacher, Gamaliel, was one of the top teachers. He was going to probably be on his way to being the top Pharisee. And then he left it all behind. He actually says in verse 7, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Everything Paul did before coming to Jesus, he's like, that's gone. It's erased. He said, I might have been the best of the best, but it was for all the wrong reasons. So imagine the college student after all those years of studying and working hard and says, forget molecular biology, I'm joining the circus. I'm going to be a clown. That's not what Katie did. If you're wondering if the straight A student was not a molecular biologist who's joined the circus. This is a modern day image of what people in Paul's circle thought he was doing. He's giving up this for Jesus, the guy we crucified and buried and are now pretending didn't rise from the dead. This guy's certifiable. He belongs in the nut house. No one would give up this prestigious life for homeless drifter. Because if you read through Acts and Paul's letters, that's pretty much what he is. He's a homeless drifter. He goes from town to town, living off of, he's working very hard, so he's earning the charity of others. But he works as a tent maker sometimes. He does this, that, and the other thing. He could be in Jerusalem living the high life, being labeled as the best of the best, but no, he's hopping from town to town, telling people about Jesus. So, in the eyes of the Pharisees, he's a nut. So, if Paul did this, there must be something better around the corner, and that's what where our 3:16 comes from for today. We're going to read the rest of this passage. So, Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." He's saying, everything else doesn't matter, just Jesus does. "For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, and not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead, I press onward, on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only, this is the 16, let us hold true to what we have attained." Only let us hold true to that which we have attained. Paul gave it all up for the promise of the resurrection. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Paul, like us, still, at the time of this writing, still lived in the real world, like we do now. We are not in our resurrected bodies. We haven't attained our resurrection bodies yet. It's a promise. Those who follow Christ Jesus will be resurrected, but we don't have them yet. We're in the real world where moth and rust still destroy. Everything is still tainted with sin. But again, let's look a bit at who Paul was before Jesus and us as well. Before, under our own power, we gained or lost for our own glory. We earned our A's, we earned our B's, we earned our D minuses. Paul would have said that he followed the law and did everything right. And he would have boasted about it. He would have gone in the street corners. If you remember the parable Jesus told about the Pharisee who was bragging about himself and then the man beating his chest. I'm not saying Paul was that Pharisee, but he would have done something like that. He would have been like, I'm so much better than everybody. As did we. I had for a number of years a trophy on my... This is not the trophy, it's just a picture I found on the internet. But I had for years a third place baseball trophy on my shelf. And people would ask me, it's like, oh, third place, that's pretty good for a little league baseball. That means you beat out a whole bunch of other teams. Let me tell you how we won that trophy. Because it's not cool. We didn't cheat. The game that was going to decide whether we were going to go for first place or second place or third place and fourth place, we were playing a game. I was playing second base. Ball came to me and I threw it at Nikki. And went to Bob. Except pretend Bob's not there, because that's where the ball went. And the person was able to score a running run, and we were like, okay, I guess we're going for third or fourth place. So we have another practice or two. The day of the game is getting closer and closer. It's a beautiful summer day or late spring day. We're all in our uniforms. We go there. We're all ready to play. We're warming up. And this one truck pulls up and one guy gets out. And we recognize this guy as a coach of the other team because we've played them before. He comes out, he walks up to our coach, and he has a conversation with our coach for a minute. And I'm like, where are all the other players? What's going on? So a few minutes pass, and our coach is coming out to us with a box. And he says, hey, great news. The other team can't make it. You guys win. So I put that trophy up on my stand for years. I'm like, hey, look at my team. We got third place. Wasn't that a great victory? Oh, tell us about the game. Oh, I can't tell you about the game. Ooh, the game was intense. It's almost as if they forfeit and just gave us the trophy. Because they did. But I boasted a victory that wasn't even earned by me. Actually, it was kind of my fault that we were in that boat in the first place. But I boasted on it. I held up that trophy, and I had pride in that trophy. My dad, I think, was an assistant coach, so we got two of them. So he even had one. And he was proud of it. Because I think he thought we would have won. I'm not so sure. I saw myself play. I was not a... But much like Jesus, we boast. We need to be more like Jesus because we boast on victory that is not ours. And instead of reveling in this glory of things we've accomplished, we can give it to God. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So what have we attained? What is Paul talking about? He's talking about eternal life. And he's talking about the resurrection. Living eternally with the one who saved us. It's hard to comprehend. We live our whole lives watching people be born and watching people die. We don't understand the concept that there's more to it. But we as followers of Jesus are eternal beings. And we will live eternally with Jesus, the one who saved us. And that is what Paul was looking forward to. And what he now, today, has. And what we are to look forward to. And we have attained this by being followers of Jesus. It's like it's our diploma. Here is your diploma. Your diploma has earned you eternal life and a resurrected body someday. Jesus has secured our eternal life and our resurrection. And it is for those who follow Jesus. Or as I've said it before, the church. And I've said before, we sometimes think of the church as a building, but it's not a building, it's the people. And I love this, and I'm going to embarrass somebody, but I won't name their name. But they'll know who they are, I hope. I got an email this week from John. If you got the same email, it made me cry. We went to a party last week, and someone was invited to the party, and as they're on the way to the party, they take a phone call. And they have to communicate to whoever's on the other line where they are and where they're going. And they said something to the effect of, "I am spending time with the church." They weren't here. They weren't coming here. They were spending time with the church. And I heard this and I was moved to tears. I cried when I read this email, because this is what spending time with those who hold true to what has been attained. Spending time with those who have attained eternal life through what Jesus did, not what we did. I'm spending time with the church. Because we are eternal, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus did. And it doesn't always feel that way. But those of us who follow Christ Jesus are eternal. We will live forever with him in heaven. And like I said, who gets it? The followers of Jesus. Those who are followers of Jesus have been given, have attained eternal life. And we learn this from 1 Corinthians 3:16, that we are the temple. We house the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And we are the evidence of eternal life and the resurrection to others. We are a new creation. Paul wasn't perfect yet. He wasn't even claiming it. Before he came to Jesus, he was saying he was perfect. Oh yeah, I'm perfect. I follow the law. I'm sure God has pleaded with me with all the stuff I've done. He owes me perfection. That's what he might have said. But now under Christ Jesus, he says, I don't deserve a bit of it, but he's given it to me anyway. He lives in us. We are a new creation. Paul wasn't perfect, but he was being made perfect, as are we. God is working on you and crafting you. But no matter what, no matter how far along you are on your walk with Christ, when you pass from this world to the next, you will continue on in eternal life, and at the resurrection, you will receive your new body to live in eternally. All followers of Jesus get a diploma. No matter where you are in your walk, the criminal on the cross had been a Christian for like 20 minutes before he died. There are people who are Christians for about 5 seconds before they die. And there are Christians who work their whole life. Billy Graham made it to 99. He got the same diploma as the criminal on the cross. Eternal life and a resurrected body. We are followers of Jesus. And since he has already guaranteed the diploma, it's because he did all the work. And we ourselves can live in thanks and gratitude. Not to earn anything extra, though scripture does indicate that the work that we do will be judged, and that that which was useless will get burned up, but that which was useful, we will be given a reward that we will turn over to our Lord and Savior. So we serve and we work not to earn anything, but in response to what he earned for us. We serve in gratitude to a Savior who did all the work. I'm reminded my family and I go to and serve at Awana in Lakeview. And if you don't know what Awana stands for, I know Dean does. Does anyone know what Awana stands for? What do you got?
It's Bible memory. It's so important to memorize the scripture.
Okay. So what does Awana, but what does AWANA stand for?
Approved workmen are not ashamed.
Approved workmen are not ashamed. Very good. And that comes from 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So we take that verse and we go, Awana, approved workmen are not ashamed. We are approved by God, not because of the work we did, but because of the work he did. But we do work not to earn us anything, but because of the work he did on our behalf. And I hope we've gleaned some things from that. It's kind of the end of my message for right now, but I kind of have some closing thoughts. Next week I'll be handing over, I'm speaking next week, but I'll be handing over the reins, so to speak, to Pastor Solomon. And I wanted to take a moment to basically say thank you for having me here for well over a year. When John and Jessica approached me back at, I think at the beginning of May or April of 2 years ago, and said, "Hey, could you come speak a couple of times?" They said, "Can you come and speak at the end of May for once or twice?" I said, "Sure, I can do it twice." And they were like, "Oh, how about June?" I said, "Okay, sure, June." And then things didn't work out with someone else, and I get another call saying, "Hey, can you come back in July?" And so I'm like, "They're calling a lot." And they said, "Hey, could you stay on for a while until we find a new pastor?" And I said, "Sure, let's see what works out." And I kind of made some arrangements that were a little more than I thought, a little more time than I thought was going to happen. Because what I kind of thought of as a distraction from my ministry in Bly, something's like, okay, I get to go talk to some other people a little bit. I probably won't even be long enough to know any names. I'll say hello to the same people that I say goodbye to a few months later. It'll just be a distraction. I didn't count on calling you family for a while. I didn't count on saying goodbye to one person a little too early. It's been a pleasure and an honor serving you. And while we may not be around as much, it's a special place in my heart. But as I hand over the reins next week, I don't want to cry, so I'm going to do that right now.
I'll probably still cry.
But I get to share a meal with you all and share some memories and know a lot more of your names than I expected to, really. But as we close today, and we'll close in prayer here in a moment, let us remember what we have attained. No matter how long we are in a place, no matter how well we know one another, as followers of Christ Jesus, we have attained eternal life and the promise of a resurrection. So let's stand and close in our final song.
Thing I need.
Heavenly Father, sometimes we are at a loss for words for the gratitude of all the work you have done, and that we are the benefactors, that we have attained through what you have done for us, eternal life. And we thank you. And whether your word speaks to us from a 3:16 or a 1:1 or a 2:15, your word speaks to us, and we thank you. And we thank you for our time together these last year and a half. And as we transition to Pastor Solomon, we pray a blessing upon him, that he would minister to this flock and bless them with your word. And may we enjoy our food together. May we enjoy the fellowship and conversation. All to your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.